This podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Hello and welcome to Did You Conspiracy That? With your host, James Walker. Together, we will explore the past, present, and jump to the future to take a look at some prominent events, ideas, and the conspiracy theories that come with them. Thank you all for joining me. Now let's dive on in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 5 of Did You Conspiracy That? After this episode, we will be halfway there, halfway done. I don't think that I've mentioned this in any of my previous episodes, so I'm going to now, but Did You Conspiracy That? Will be running for another 5 episodes after this one, so everyone make sure to stay caught up as we finish out the series. I wanted to plan this episode a little bit around next week's episode, as I will hopefully be welcoming a guest onto the show and interviewing them. That being said, I had to switch up what I originally wanted to do for this show to something new, different, and unique, but we will be getting into that a little bit later. For now, we will be moving on to the part of the show where I will be sharing some of my family and friends' favorite conspiracy theories. This week, I called back home to ask my parents what their favorite conspiracies were. My mom was the first one to answer me, and I was very surprised by my question. She originally struggled with her answer, telling me she was not someone who had heard nor really cared about conspiracy theories all that much. But after giving her some ideas of other stuff I've talked about in my shows, she kind of realized that she believed in a conspiracy that she didn't even really know was one. Last week, I talked about the moon landing and how people thought that it was staged and basically fake, and my mom is actually one of those people. The reason she said that the moon landing was fake was because after all of these years, we have never returned to the moon. This leads her to believe that there is no plausible way, with all the advancements and all the technology that we have nowadays, that we would not have returned to continue research or at least go again for whatever reason. My dad's answer was actually on the same conspiracy, which I think was because he needed an example too, but with different beliefs, so I thought I would throw it in here. He thinks that the moon landing was not staged or fake, and that we truly did go to the moon, but that we have not returned for unknown reasons. He believes that we very well also could still be going to and from the moon, but the government is just not telling the public. He added that after his 4 years in the military, it is very clear that the United States government only tells us what they want us to hear, and not what is actually happening most of the time. I thought it was very interesting to hear both of my parents' different looks on the same conspiracy. Another thing that I noticed while my parents were talking was that they did not really disagree with each other when they had opposing opinions. Rather, they kind of agreed that parts of each other's stories were true and left out the criticizing the other parts, which was a really nice experience, I guess, when a lot of the time conspiracies lead to very, very violent and upset people, I guess. Alrighty, now we will be moving on to our unique and different twist on this week's episode. Rather than talking about one specific event and breaking down the different conspiracies within that one event, I wanted to take a look at multiple events in the same episode. In order to do this, I found some of the most famous assassinations of recent times and looked into the conspiracy theories surrounding them. I have to say though, I really enjoyed doing this as it gave me the opportunity to look at different conspiracies on many different historical events. I narrowed it down to 2 pretty good ones though. The first event that I'm going to be talking about is the JFK assassination. On November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas, when he was struck by 2 bullets. Within 2 hours, Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested for the murder of Dallas policeman J.D. Tippit and arraigned that evening. Shortly after 1:30 a.m. on Saturday, November 23rd, Oswald was also arranged for murdering President Kennedy as well. On Sunday, November 24th, at 11:21 a.m., nightclub owner Jack Ruby fatally shot Oswald as he was being transported from the city jail to the county jail. The death of the president really stunned the country and left them wanting answers. Even after it seemed the murder had already been solved, people still chose not to believe it. This is where we find our conspiracies. The first one is called Grassy Knoll. The House of Representatives may be partially to blame for this enduring conspiracy. In 1976, the Select Committee on Assassinations, which reinvestigated JFK's killing, as well as Martin Luther King Jr.'s, concluded that there was probably a second shooter on the Grassy Knoll, a hill overlooking the site where Kennedy was assassinated in his motorcade. One of the reasons this claim was made was due to the way the president's head jolted when he was shot. Many people claim that his head whipped the wrong way after being struck, making it impossible for the bullet to have come from where they reported it did. In my opinion, it is really hard to tell or claim something like this. There's really no way of proving there was another shooter, but I also don't think that's something that should be ruled out. The second JFK conspiracy we're going to take a look at is called the Umbrella Man. Louis Stephen Witt carried a black umbrella with him to Delaney Plaza on November 22, 1963, and was caught in the framed Zapruder film, raising it into the air as Kennedy's car drove past. Some have claimed that he was giving a signal. Others claim he had shot the president with a poison dart from his umbrella. This conspiracy was actually debunked in multiple ways. The first way being there was never any trace of poison found in the president upon examination, showing us that he did not use a poison dart to shoot him. The second way it was debunked was by Witt himself. During a 1978 interview with Witt, he revealed that he simply wanted to heckle the president. Apparently, Witt had the umbrella and was using it as a sore spot with the Kennedy family due to its association with British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, who, like JFK's father, Joseph Kennedy, supported appeasement prior to World War II. I felt like this conspiracy was actually really, really well thought out. Personally, if Witt would have never come out and told the world what it was actually doing that day, I think it would be an extremely believable conspiracy. The third JFK conspiracy I'll be discussing claims that the murder was done by the mob. The Kennedys were no strangers to organized crime. In fact, some people believe that the mafia helped JFK steal the election in 1960 by securing votes in the key state of Illinois. However, another conspiracy theory has it the political dynasties at odds with the mob. This theory hinges on the fact that Kennedy was unsuccessful in overthrowing Fidel Castro in Cuba, meaning the mafia-run casinos remained shut down, and that his brother, Robert Kennedy, was cracking down on the mob in his role as Attorney General, pursuing a case against Jimmy Hoffa. Robert Kennedy had a fear that somehow he had gotten his own brother killed, according to biographer Evan Thomas. I really enjoyed this conspiracy, and I'm not really sure why, but I think it has a really compelling story behind it, along with not a whole lot of evidence proving it wrong. JFK very well could have been killed by the mob, and I think I'll stand by that. The second event that I wanted to take a look at for this week's podcast happened to be the assassination of another president just many years prior to JFK. Abraham Lincoln is one of the most memorable presidents in history for many reasons, main one being his abolishment of slavery. Unfortunately, this left him as a huge target to many who disagreed with his choices. At 10:15 in the evening, Booth entered the back of Lincoln's theater box, crept up from behind him, and fired at the back of Lincoln's head, mortally wounding him. Lincoln's guest, Major Henry Rathbone, momentarily grappled with Booth, but Booth stabbed him and escaped. After being attended to by multiple doctors, Lincoln was taken across the street to the Peterson House. After remaining in a coma for 8 hours, Lincoln died at 7:22 on the morning of April 15, 1865. Our first conspiracy about the Lincoln assassination says that Andrew Johnson was involved and knew Booth. Approximately 7 hours before the shooting of the president, Booth dropped by the Washington Hotel, which was Vice President Andrew Johnson's residence. Upon learning from the front desk clerk that neither Johnson nor his private secretary, William A. Browning, was in the hotel, Booth wrote the following note: "Don't wish to disturb you. Are you home? J. Wilkes Booth." Browning testified before the military court that he found the note in his box later that afternoon. One of the main believers in this was actually the President Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. In a letter to her friend, Sally Orne, dated March 15, 1866, she said, "That miserable inbred Johnson had coagulants of my husband's death. Why was that card of Booth's found in his box? Some acquaintance certainly existed. I have been deeply impressed with the harrowing thought that he had an understanding with the conspirators and that he knew that man. As sure as you and I live, Johnson had some hand in all of this." I feel like conspiracies that date this far back are really hard to justify with evidence, but this one does not fall into that category. Not only do I personally think that this could be true, I find this to be very compelling and honestly more believable than nearly everything else I have heard about Lincoln's death. The second conspiracy that we will be talking about today says that Lincoln's assassination was the result of a Confederate plot. The theory of a Confederate grand conspiracy portrays Booth as a rebel agent working to organize a band of men to kidnap Lincoln. When Richmond fell, the plans turned to assassination. First, there was a failed attempt to blow up the White House, followed by the successful effort to kill Lincoln at the theater. The theory of Confederate complacency in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln is accepted by several of the current Lincoln assassination historians, scholars, researchers, and writers. The actual trigger for Booth's action was the April 10th capture of explosives expert Thomas F. Harney, who was on his way to Washington to bomb the White House. Booth, knowing Harney's plan had failed, tried to make up for Harney's disaster by taking matters into his own hands and killing the president at Ford's Theater. This really brings light to how destructive the Civil War was. I think that it is more than likely that there were quite a few things planned leading up to the death of President Lincoln. Even the idea that killing him was actually the last resort of their plan seems to make more sense than guessing what the motive was. Our final conspiracy of today's podcast says that the Roman Catholic Church is responsible for Lincoln's death. In 1886, an ex-priest by the name of Charles Chinnicky wrote a book titled 50 Years in the Church of Rome, which portrayed the assassination of Lincoln as a Catholic grand conspiracy. Chinnicky maintained that Jefferson Davis had offered $1 million if someone would kill the author of Bloodshed. Chinnicky wrote that the money could be offered, but that the Jesuits alone could select the assassins, train them, and show them a crown of glory in heaven. Booth was the tool of the Jesuits. He was corrupted and directed by the Vatican. In 1906, Chinnicky said, "The President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by the priests and the Jesuits of Rome." In 1856, Lincoln had defended Chinnicky in court. Chinnicky had quarreled with his bishop and then was sued for slander by one of the bishop's friends, the bishop himself having nothing to do with the actual complaint. A morals charge was also involved. The case was heard May 20th to 22nd, 1856, in Urban, Illinois. Lincoln arranged for a compromise settlement, but Chinnicky interpreted the settlement as a victory over the church. He felt some Jesuits had held Lincoln responsible for the settlement. This was probably the least believable of the Lincoln conspiracies, but I think that you really can't rule it out still. It would be a stretch to say that this is exactly what happened, but it doesn't mean that it's all fake. I think that this might have been one of my favorite episodes that I've done so far. I really enjoyed specifically reading the Lincoln conspiracies because some of them were really believable, which makes talking about them just that much more exciting. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed themselves like I did, and don't forget to check back in next week for my sixth episode where we will be hopefully hosting a guest. Thank you everyone, and we will see you later.